Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. This will be the midweek show that we do every other Wednesday where we just talk about stuff. And,
and we have stuff to talk about.
we invariably talk way too long before we record these shows ahead of time. And we have to stop because we waste show material. So we were talking about Sunday's show with the ladies Di and Debbie from Appleton's Wool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my. They were fantastic. It was so interesting to listen to that show and listen to them talk about. I didn't even think about wool being sustainable versus some of the synthetic threads we use. And
right.
The fact that they're, you know, they source all within Great Britain, you know, that's fantastic. You know, keeping that wool industry alive. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, no, just to complete the thought. Yeah, we get talking ahead of time and we realize we're wasting show material, so we have to stop and hit record. But that's the beauty of that is, you know, and the fact that through the entire pandemic, they never had to worry about supply chain issues because they were all within, you know, whatever few miles, everything mm-hmm. they needed.
Right.
And yeah.
And I loved it that, you know, we were discussing guitar belts the other day and the fact that they're, you know, you spend all this time stitching something. You really don't want it to disintegrate, you know, quickly. The fact that they use wool for belts makes so much sense.
Right.
Because that stuff, as long as you don't have moss, you're good. You're good.
Yep. Yeah, you really, because if you look at the staples of our hobby, silk, cotton, and wool.
Right.
All sustainable, all natural products that last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure by now, just about every dye is safe in the environment. I don't know, maybe not, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but they're learning. I know dyers are learning to use less water. That's one of the big,
mm-hmm.
you know, to rinse things, to get the colors in. I know when we dye fabric, we even just ourselves just played with how little dye can we use to get the color we want and how little water can we use, you know, to try to keep it, you know, if I had a teaspoon of dye and really move it around on my piece of fabric, you know, then all the dye goes into the fabric. I'm rinsing less. So, you know, again, you're just using less and less water, because I think that's one of the big water, using it when you dye, going to the dye process.
Yeah. So. And that's a thing, depending on where you're at in the country, like us in the Midwest. I mean, you can look out your window and see the Mississippi River flooding.
Right.
You know, and here in St. Louis, I mean, we're wrapped around by three rivers and we got still drying out from the last storm. But, you know, you go out in the Southwest and the West and, you know, current situation aside, that's a serious problem. And so, yeah, you start looking at how much water is in your process and are you able to recycle it? Are you able to just run it back through and use it again? And
mm-hmm.
Because we get pretty sloppy about water around here. I know we do.
Right. You know. But having family that lives in the Southwest, you know, you learn to be a little bit more careful with it. You don't want to just let it go down the drain.
Oh, yeah. Because when I'm out in the morning riding my bike, the number of people water their lawns. It just rained last night and you watered your lawn. But, you know, they're on timers and they don't give it a thought. And
and
I look at all the water that runs into the streets that gets all over my clean bike. And that's a whole thing is water that just runs off from gardening and watering lawns and stuff. And
right.
Meanwhile, out west, they're trying to have enough water just to take a shower every now and then. And it's, sustainability. But that's with the magazine that I edit, manufacturing, sustainability, it's always been an issue for most, and I say most, But in the last couple of years, it's really become a major issue across the board for manufacturers because of the huge impact they have on the environment. I just did evaluated an article about motor efficiency. And if you're not in manufacturing, you have no clue how many motors run around the clock in manufacturing. It is frightening how many motors run. And this guy said that some research, if all of the motors in manufacturing globally operated at peak efficiency, and all that requires is good maintenance, if they all operated at peak efficiency, we would cut global energy use by 10%.
Wow.
Yeah. Think about that. You think, well, 10%, that's huge. That is huge.
It is huge.
Yeah.
A huge amount. Yeah. Huge amount.
And that's just maintenance. You know, that's just taking the time to keep your motors running. And we start to look at all the other things, you know, when you talk about dying and how much water you're using. If you're paying attention to that, you can make a difference, huge difference, yeah?
Yes, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yep.
And we need to, you know, God has only given us one planet. We need to take care of what he's given us, so.
Yeah, no, we do. And, yeah, when you look at the Appleton's ladies and that operation, I mean, they seem to have it pretty well buttoned down or extremely well buttoned down in terms of impact on the environment and renewable resources and a product that lasts forever, because that's the other end of it. You know, how much of your product is going to landfill? Well, for wool thread, really shouldn't be any, except for my Ort bowl here. that maybe.
There's only so much we can use. I mean,
But no, it's that was quite a story and impressive operation and the history. Holy smokes, the history! What was that? 1835? Wow.
Yeah, I think so. It was. Yeah, I was like, I didn't know they'd been around that long, but I should have guessed.
Yeah.
But yeah, and beautiful threads and I went and poked at their website. That was bad. So I had to get off of there.
Yeah.
To get off of there.
It'll cost you some money. And it's, you know, I was screwing around Wednesday night with the wool that I bought, but it really is beautiful wool. It's, you know, the colors are rich. It's really beautiful. These 10 skeins I bought, I really think I ought to find something to use them for.
And I think that, you know, we've kind of, you know, we used to, you know, you poo-poo, oh, everything was done in wool, long time ago. So we didn't have the variety of threads we have now. But there's something about working with it. It's very forgiving, like for curl work.
Mm-hmm.
When you're first learning surface embroidery, I always hear people say, well, I learned how to do stitching when I did crewel embroidery. And I'm like, okay, it's the same stitches. You're just using floss if you're, you know, doing the newfangled. But wool is so forgiving when you stitch with it.
Yeah.
Because it kind of fluffs out and covers up your holes. So it's great for learning. In fact, I'm thinking when I teach, I'm going to be teaching at my local library satin stitch in the fall. And I might give them wool to start with versus embroidery floss because it fills out better. And then say, okay, you've learned this technique. Now let's try it with floss, which is different because you really should lay it so you get the shine. And then they see how it works. It gives different, it looks different when you're done stitching with it, wool versus floss. And it gives them an idea of what they want too. Their piece to look like.
Right. Well, there's a good hour long class, wool to silk, to floss to silk.
Right. Right.
Just satin stitch. Yeah. Right.
And for people who've never done satin stitch or have never used any of those fibers, it's fun to learn. How else are you going to learn to use this stuff unless we hand it to you and you practice with it. So.
That'll
be fun.
Can you stitch a block of satin stitch and have it all lay nice? All right, you did that with wool. Now let's try it with cotton. Let's try it with two strands of cotton. All right, now let's go to silk. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Yep. That's a skill. That's a skill right there. Yep.
Right. And they want to know, and then they want to know how to do long and short, and long and short is much easier with wool than with, floss, any sort of floss, silk or cotton, because you just got, just got to be a lot more careful with it.
Yeah.
But the wool just is kind of like, oh yeah, it kind of covers up your holes. It blends easier.
It's working with you.
Yes. So yeah, I'm glad. I'm so glad they, it sounds like they've really, Appleton's really kind of revived the industry. They're, kept that business going.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Oh yeah. I think it's great. I mean, because they commented how there's so many more competitors now for wool, and there are several more, because it used to be, it was Appleton's. I mean, if you wanted quality wool for needlework, you had no choice but Appleton's. But now, there are several others. And so that, that's, no harm there. I mean, competition is good for everyone as a rule, but they are obviously taking it on and doing a job. And that was the other thing when I was talking to them, I was kind of thinking in the back of my mind, is wool losing that stigma of, oh, that's old school, nobody uses that anymore? Seems to me like we're seeing more and more wool used, because there for a while, I mean, oh, who uses wool? Why would you do that? That's ancient stuff. But it seems to me like that's changing, and that we're seeing more wool.
I think so, because I think people, I think young people, they want it to go fast, and they want to use it. They don't want to just, okay, I've stitched this, now what am I going to do with it? They want to make, it seems like they make cushions and pillows out of all their stitching. And so you want something that'll last, that's going to, if you put it on a cushion on your sofa, that it's not going to all pill up.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So
no, I think there's a shift there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So yeah, that's quite a story. Yeah. If people haven't listened to last Sunday's show with Di and Debbie from Appleton's Wool, it's a good one, and go out and buy some wool and give it a try. Well, and then Krista West at Avlia, she's using their wool in her designs.
Right. It's for her cushions.
Yep. Because it lasts. Yeah. And as the colors are beautiful. I mean, these are as rich colors as you would get with DMC or Anchor or, any silk. I mean, they're beautiful colors. It's not old muted stuff. It's good. Use it. 425 colors. Holy smokes.
I know.
That's another thing. I want to talk to the dying people.
Yeah.
How do you juggle all those formulas, and how do you deal with wool that comes in and it's not dying the way it's supposed to, and then adjusting? What an art form. Wow.
Yeah. How do they figure that out?
Yeah. That'd be fun to see someday. Just follow somebody around as they're trying to make blue number 426, just
right.
It doesn't match. Right. It has to match. Yeah.
Oh, that would be so frustrating. Oh.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's art, skill, talent, experience. Yep. Mm-hmm. All those things. Mm-hmm. All right. Next Wednesday, no stitch hour tonight, because we just did one last week. Next Wednesday is kind of up in the air. I have to travel for the paying job, and I couldn't get it so I could be home on a Wednesday night. So I have to be in a hotel room. So there may be a podcast, but there will not be a stitch hour next Wednesday, and then we'll pick up the following week. So sorry about that. We had a nice run where everything was going well, and then I have to make a trip. So
Life happens.
Yep. But the guy who signs my paycheck said, you got to go. And so there I was.
Yep.
Sunday. Now, Sunday's another one. Claire Edwards, the nomadic maker, will be our guest.
Yes.
There's another one. What a fascinating person. Yep.
Yes. And you think, well, what do you mean nomadic maker? She lives in her camper. And stitches from there. I think that's fantastic. And her work is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Now, her camper is like a bus, so
right.
It's a serious thing, but yeah, that's what they live in. Yep.
Right. I just can't imagine carrying all my stitching with me.
You couldn't.
Not in my camper.
No, you couldn't.
Not even in the bus.
No, you couldn't. Not even in a bus. No, you know, you and Max would have to have a discussion about a space distribution. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'd lose. So
I'm pretty sure you would. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not that wouldn't work. No.
You better stay in the house there. Mm-hmm. With the basement. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. The basement. Yep. So I can have my stash.
Yep. So yeah. Sunday, Claire Edwards, the Nomadic Maker. And then if you listen to last Sunday's show, then the EGA folks have renewed the FiberTalk 5 code. So now through the end of May, you can use that FiberTalk and the number 5 to get a free lecture, either a live or a recorded one. And the one, Sally Maver, is the most recent one, and that is really good. And then, okay, so I had to, I should do research, but I didn't have time to do research. So the next one coming up that you can sign up for, just registration just opened up, Young Min Lee. And I had to do the ad ahead of time, the ad that goes ahead of the show, and I didn't know how to pronounce it. Did I? I don't know if I did it right. Boyaji?
I don't know. Yeah, and I'm interested in that one. Of course, I can't do the live lecture, so I'm going to wait, and hopefully they'll record it, and I'll be able to catch it later. But I'm very interested in that one. I have a friend that did a quick little course in it, and she goes, oh, this stuff is fascinating, Beth. You've got to listen to that lecture when it shows up on the EGA. So yeah. I'm excited about that one. I can't wait till it goes to recorded lecture.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely going to listen to that one.
Yeah. So check that out. In FiberTalk 5, you can get that for free. You have to be an AGA member, but, you know, why not?
Yeah.
What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? But, I mean, these lectures alone, quite frankly, are all the benefits of EGA, but these lectures so far have just been so good that they're worth the annual membership as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And a little, even if you don't get it free, pay the $5 fee. That's nothing. You know, it really isn't.
Come on.
It's fantastic.
We throw away $5 just getting up in the morning. So spend it on a good lecture.
Right. Yeah. Instead of that cup of coffee.
So that's coming up. So FiberTalk 5 through the month of May will get you a free lecture, either the live one or a recorded one, either way. And you just go to egausa.org and sign up and do the things. So, and if you're wondering about EGA and should I join, 2 weeks ago, our show should have clarified everything that you wanted to know, Wendy Lynn, about EGA and what it has to offer and what you can get out of it. Yeah, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It was good.
All those things. I got my Singer sewing machine thing. I got a couple more people sent in pictures. Boy, some people have some amazing machines. Holy smokes. Beautiful, pristine machines. Wow. So I'm going to do I got enough now for the video, but if you have a vintage sewing machine, treadle or motor powered or hand cranked, I don't care, that you have, that you use, or that is just a showpiece in the house, send me a couple photos, tell me the story behind it, and I'll put you in the video. But I'm my first machine that I'm renovating is I'm at the putting it together stage, so that's going to go fairly quickly because all the hard work's done, and then I'll do a video and we'll show off some of the machines that FiberTalk listeners have. Wow, I got one the other day. Holy smokes. I showed Margaret. She was even impressed. And she doesn't have any interest. But, yeah. So just a cool aspect. It's surprising how many people have these old machines.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff. Yep. Yep. So send me photos, Gary@WeTalkFiber.com. We'll get you in the video and chance to see everybody's old machines. Yep.
Yeah, that'll be neat. That'll be fun to see. Yep. That'll be fun.
Okay, so whippocalypse, is that what we say? Whippocalypse Sal.
Yeah, so it's basically run on a blog by Melissa Kruger, and she always been going on for years. I think it started with the Mayan calendar going to run out in 2011 or 2012, and you're supposed to pick 12 whips that you're going to finish before the end of the before the whip apocalypse happened. So it was kind of started as tongue-in-cheek kind of a joke, and it's been going on for a while. You kind of list your whips and then post them on your blog, and it's kind of fun. But she asked a question last time, and it lists five projects in your stash right now that you'd really like to start, but you haven't. And it made me think, I wonder what Gary has in his stash that he wants to start that he hasn't, you know? You don't need to list all your stash. That's okay. That's, you know.
No, I had no trouble coming up with five.
You didn't have any trouble coming up with five. I had problems limiting myself to five.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Coming up with five, not a problem. Limiting, big problem. Yeah.
Yeah. And that you want to start. Now, I have some that I looked at and I was like, I like this, but I don't have an urge to start it right now.
Yeah.
I just want to look at it. Yeah.
And in my list, I did not include anything that I've already started and that I'm either working on or semi-working on. I didn't include any of those.
No.
And that list is embarrassingly long. Yes.
Yes. Yes. It's 30 something for me, but who's counting?
I ain't counting mine. I'm pretty sure I could match you. Yeah. But yeah, no, I had no trouble. Ones I absolutely have not started. So for me, it's Kathy Andrews, the King's Pineapple.
Okay.
And I haven't started that. Now that one, I'm ready to go, but I haven't started because I need to get over that setting up a slate frame hurdle.
Okay. So that's what's keeping you from starting it, is that you've got to put it on the slate frame.
Right. And I got it all set up and ready to go, and you know, squirrel, and off I was to something else, and then I've never gotten back. But yeah, that's what's holding me up on that.
So what do you like about that piece? I mean, I know what I like about it. But what do you like about that piece? What calls to you about it?
I think it's just the challenge of stitching that. I mean, it's done with wool. I forget what wool she uses, but it's a really nice wool, and I want to use that. And I like the design, but there's just some nice stitching challenges in there. But to me, that's the first one I want to do on a slate frame. I want to experience that on a slate frame, and I just have that in my head. So that's where it sits. It's just pathetic. I haven't sat down and taken an afternoon to do that, to set it up, but because I know it's going to take an afternoon. But I had one Sunday, and you know what? I made a bunch of X's on a sampler. And I just...
And sometimes that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
You know, just make X's on a sampler.
Yeah. So...
But, yeah. That is a beautiful piece. Yeah, and getting over it, I understand about the slate frame, because my first one, the one that pops into my head all the time now, is the Harmony of Nature casket, you know, and the holdup is I have to transfer the design, so I have to make sure it fits on the box, transfer the design, and then I have to put it on the slate frame, and it's like, oh, you know, and I know I just should start. It can't be that hard. I mean, it just can't be.
No.
I just got to get over it and start
it. We've mentioned this, we've alluded to this before, or touched on it before. What we should do is you get that transferred, and then you and I get on live on the YouTube channel one afternoon and just force each other to do it.
Yeah.
And we'll invite somebody, maybe even Kathy would do it, to guide us.
Right. Think, no, don't do that.
Yeah. because we gotta get over this hump. And it's just a hump that I know once we're over is no big deal.
Right.
You know,
and anytime I see anyone working on their casket on Instagram, or I see any sort of stump work, I think, oh, I really need to pull that out and start it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because, yeah, you've got several things at play that if you were comfortable setting up a slate frame, you'd be off and running.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just a matter of just starting it and getting going.
Okay. I got to talk to Kathy Andrews anyway, so I'll impose on her to help us.
Well, I think once you get it set up on a slate frame, you might not look back.
Nope.
Because you like your stuff so drum tight. Now, I don't necessarily need my stitching drum tight, so I don't think it's going to be as much of a game changer for me as it is going to be for you. I think once you get that on that, I think you're going to say, why did I take so long to do this? I just do. But, you know, it's getting over that hump. It's the kind of that fear of something new.
Yeah, no, you're dead right, because I'm going to love it. It's going to be a perfect drum tight surface to work on, and I'm going to love it, and I won't use anything else. Yeah, you're exactly right. Yep, guaranteed. Yeah. So, all right, so that's the first one on my list. The second one, and this one made me mad. Okay, this one made me mad. So I've got this shelf of stuff that is, like, on deck, okay?
Right.
This one made me mad. Avliya's Byzantine Band Sampler.
Yes.
I pulled that out, and it's like, what are you doing? Why have I not started that one? That is just, I just forgot it was there. And it's sitting right here on the table, like right here, I can see it. And it was, I just love that one. And it was, you got to, you know, get it together here. And that one made me mad.
Well, and I saw it on your list, and I was like, I was like, well, where's mine? I have that.
Yep.
Where's mine? So that made me go dig through my Avliya designs. And then I discovered that I have several. One that was calling to me is Telos Primrose, which is the cushion.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, oh, that would be so pretty to have on my sofa.
Yep.
Have it stitched up and done. And her designs are fun to stitch. Just a blast to stitch.
Yep.
And I did finish that one, so that gives me permission to start a new one, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You just showed us Wednesday night the one you finished. That was great.
That's right. So yep. I can start something new.
Of course,
like
you can.
I need an excuse.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like there's some gatekeeper stopping you. Yeah.
Right. 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 But that one is I have a kit, and so it comes with, I do believe, does it come with linen? No, it comes with her fabric,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. I just got to start it. But yeah, the Byzantine border sampler, band sampler, that's pretty too.
Yep.
That's pretty too. All of her stuff is tempting. And then, we were just discussing, you know, you can buy her stuff and wool. Do one of the cushions in wool.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I had two of hers on my list. The other, and you know, and this was also on the shelf, the Tree of Life embroidery piece. And that isn't even a big piece.
No.
And I pulled that out. I said, what? Why haven't you done that one? You know, at least start it, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Right, right. And her I love doing her surface embroidery kits. I don't remember what it's called. It looks like a sun. And I've got to stitch it to the back of my jacket now. That's the holding point.
That's right. You were going to put that on the back of your jean jacket. You haven't done that yet.
No, because that's like, I've got to center it.
That's going to be so cool. Come on, Beth.
I know, and it's spring, and I want to wear that jacket. So it's like, you know, Beth, you really ought to get this done so it looks cool on the back.
Because that will be spectacular.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. I just need to bite the bullet and get it on there. It's not my favorite thing to do, that finishing part, but
yeah.
Yeah. So her kits are great though, because you don't run out of thread. I've never run out of thread. Even when I had to rip things out, I haven't run out of thread. and they're just well done. Well yep. done.
She's a good one. She's a good mm-hmm. one. Yep. Then mm-hmm. another one, and this one, the slate frame is again in the way, is the Glitter and Goff, or Go, Van Gogh, Glitter and yeah. Go. Natalie Dupuy, her interpretation of A Starry Night.
Oh, yeah.
I bought that. I've had that for 3 years. Yeah.
Oh. And that's gold work, right?
Right. All gold work. Yep. But quite doable. And again, I need to learn how to put a slate frame together.
So did it come with its own slate frame?
No.
Okay.
No, the piece is marked, you know, and all the threads and everything you need, just put it on a slate frame and start stitching. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yep. And then the fifth one on my list, and this is another one. I spent an entire weekend setting up the Botany Bay sampler, and I did all those Lucky Jonquil thread things. You know, I stitched on all those, so I've got this big ring of all the threads for Botany Bay sampler, the Fox and Rabbit sampler, mm-hmm. everything. I just got to iron the linen and put it on something and go. But I know what stopped me there. I know what stopped me there is when we started talking about the sampler one that we're going to do.
Jane Turner.
And so, I have one set of scroll bars, and so I didn't put it on there because Jane Turner's coming. Kim's got a couple more threads, I guess, for me and then I'll have it. And so Jane Turner took, shoved its way in line. Jane Turner's, that's more my thing, where there's a nice challenge to it rather than just X's. So.
Right. Well, Botany Bay has some freeform stitching and some satin stitches and stuff. So that's, you know, that's always been kind of on my list. And just the name, Botany Bay.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
But it's no Jane Turner. No.
This is true. This is true. Yeah. Jane Turner is going to be quite the challenge when we start that one.
Botany Bay does not get in the league with Jane Turner. Mm-mm. Nope.
No.
So those are my five. So what are your five?
Well, first, you know, the casket, Harmony of Nature. Yeah. I've got to get that going. I mean, it must move forward. It's the fear of getting that slate frame out. Now I'm not so afraid of materials. Although a lot of the stuff in the kit is stuff that's like you look at and you're like, you're going to stitch with this. but I think her instructions are good. And this is Trisha Nguyen, Thistle Threads. It's just a matter of just doing it, just starting and doing it.
Yeah.
So that slate frame, can't let that hold us back. I've got to just, and I've decided, I kept thinking, oh, I'm going to design my own. And I thought, you know what? That's stopping me too. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to do it as designed and get it moving forward. If I get it done, then I'll design my own after I do the one.
Yep.
I might change it as I go, but.
Okay. I just came up with even more fun. A slate frame show with Kathy and Natalie.
Oh, yeah.
I do it this way.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. I got some work to do. Okay.
Yeah. You have to get them. Yes. That would be fun. Okay. And I'd like to know what their favorite slate frame is. I mean, because I have a feeling that if I get Harmony of Nature up on a slate frame, there's other things that I want to stitch that need to be on a slate frame that I might need to get, you know, you might need more than one slate frame going at a time.
Might need, yes, need.
Mm-hmm. Yes, need, of course.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. there's even more fun. All right, we'll see. We can impose on those two ladies to join us for a training session on slate frames.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right.
All right.
Okay. So, well, you know, and I was going to comment. 17th Trisha's 17th century sampler thing that you just finished. That has really. I have a sense that has really given you confidence in a new area.
Yes, I've done white work before, and I've done cutting of threads before because I've done some hard iron. But being able to work my way through this, working my way through the mistake that I made, huge, where I was totally frustrated, and having friends actually who encouraged me not to give up, I think made the huge another huge difference. But I'm like, you know what? I can do this. And it made me go back and continue working on my drawn thread sampler from Gay Ann Rogers. That had come to a complete halt because I thought, oh, I've made mistakes on it. I don't like it. I can't do this part. You know, I might as well just leave it in the basement. And now I'm like, hey, I can do this. I can change these and I can make it look the way I want it to look. And it has encouraged me and given me confidence.
Yeah.
There's something about working through those problems and just getting it done. And I can see it. It's across the room from me. And I know I'm not going to frame it, but I think maybe I ought to just pull that out and look at it again. So, yeah. You know.
No, you've made several comments in the last few weeks that you know, every one of them says to me, boy, if she hadn't done that 17th century white work sampler, you wouldn't be making that statement. And I've really had a sense that it's just opened some doors for you. Yeah.
Yeah, it has.
And
it
speaking of Gay Ann Rogers thing, apparently enough people have called her that we're going to be able to buy that in our next sale.
I think she's going to open it up. I went back and looked at the comments because because I was like, ooh, I think she's going to open it up, do something in June and do like a short sale of just it.
Ooh.
So I highly, even if you don't think you're going to do the sampler itself, her instructions are fantastic. You know, she basically holds your hand through the whole thing. And they're fantastic. I mean, I don't know why I quit. But yeah, I highly recommend it. When she sells it, we'll have to make a little announcement about it.
Yeah, well, I'm getting
people
one.
Know.
Yeah, and if you're wondering what we're talking about, the Wednesday show, the Stitch Hour this past Wednesday, Beth showed hers. And if you have any doubt about whether it's beautiful, yeah, just look at Beth's. Well, I'm buying it for sure. Yep.
Yeah, it's a fantastic piece, and you learn so much by stitching it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, when she puts it up, maybe we'll get her to do a show with us and talk about it.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of Gay Ann, that's another one that's on my list. Echoes of Elizabeth.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I have actually both of them in my stash. The one that has the real reticella and the one that has the fake.
Okay.
Because I couldn't decide. So now, like one of these days, I'm gonna stitch one of them, and I'll probably just have to do something with the other. But
it's so Beth, I can't decide. Buy both.
Well, you know, you never know.
Yep. Okay.
Well, yeah.
What else?
So what else? Oh,
was that five? I quit counting.
No, I've got. I did say the Evlia piece, and then. I don't know. I've quit counting too, but the flower and flame sewing roll that Dawn, I can never remember her last name.
Ronigan.
It's in her, Ronigan, who's in her book, her new book she released. And when I saw the book, that was the one I wanted to stitch, is that flame one it's got Bargello all on the outside. And then inside the pockets have like a flower, two flowers, and then there's more Bargello inside. And I thought, oh, that is gorgeous. I'd love to stitch that. And she released the pattern.
Yep.
And now I must stitch it.
Yeah, there's a full full pattern, instructions and everything for making that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's her needle rolls and Hoss Whiffs and something.
Yes, her book.
Book, yeah, which you want to get. And then she's selling patterns from items in the book. And, yeah, that one, that's a good one. Right. So, okay, so you got to do that one. All right.
Yeah, it's just, and it's like what Jennifer said. She's, it's like fire in her head or something is what she said.
Whatever she said, yeah.
I'm like, oh, I know what you mean, because I dream about it. And I'm like, okay, if I dig through my stash, do I have the right colors?
Yeah.
I know I have fabric. So.
Oh, and can we talk for a minute about Jennifer and her crocheted border for her little pillows?
Oh, that was brilliant.
Just outstanding.
Like, really?
Just outstanding.
Yeah, I would have. And I have. I'm not a good crocheter, but I have a book that has patterns for that. But does Jennifer use a pattern?
No,
I just do two, and I'm like, oh, Jennifer.
Just two, and then three, and two.
And then, then I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever. And then she's using impressions from Karen Water.
Yeah,
Karen's collection,
watercolors.
Anyway.
Yeah,
and. And I thought, that's brilliant, too. It's because how do you find the fine enough or find something that matches your threads?
Yep.
That was brilliant.
Yep. And what, for those who missed it, what we're talking about, last Wednesday's show, all kinds of things in last Wednesday's Stitch Hour show. Jennifer has a bunch of little pillow, what are they, monthly flowers, I don't know, what, some series.
Yeah. Right.
That are in little pillows, and she wanted a border. But she didn't want some store-bought whatever border, so she's crocheting her own border over around each of those. And she's what she stitched. She's going to stitch, basically a loose thread, and then she's crocheting it right on. She's not crocheting the border and then attaching it. It's just brilliant, really brilliant.
Yeah, and it's beautiful, and it matches, and that's. That's the thing. If you're finishing your own pieces, that's the problem is like, okay, I can't find something that matches the edge of this, that I can finish this piece. And I never, you're supposed to pick your fabric first for your backing before you pick your threads for the front. And I'm like, who has time for that? I just start stitching, But if you know you're going to finish it yourself, it makes sense to do it that way.
Yep.
But, but that's brilliant. Brilliant, Jennifer. Brilliant.
Yep.
Bravo.
Well played. Yep.
Bravo. Bravo.
Yeah. No, that was really good. Yeah, last Wednesday's show, Stitch Hour. You go. Stitch Hours are only available on the YouTube channel. You go to the live section, live video sections. That's where you'll find all the Stitch Hour ones and the most recent one. Yeah, you get to see that. And best white work sampler, and all those things. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
A lot of fun.
Okay, so we each have a stack of things that are in process, and now we've identified five things that we'd like to start.
Right. Because we have nothing better to do with our time.
Yes, we are pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But, it keeps us out of trouble. Somewhat.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, something I discovered, it's interesting. Okay, Marguerite Hoag from the Assemblée mentioned in the show we did with her two or three weeks ago that she was not going to do kits anymore, and she was going to have a sale for all of the silk thread she has. Well, she announced, we're recording on Monday, so she announced today that her silk threads are on sale. Was it 20% off?
Yes.
So Vereswah and something else, silk threads, she's going to sell because she's not going to offer kits anymore. She's going to offer PDF downloads. And so you can go to the Assemblée and you can get silk threads for
20% off.
So that okay, so we knew that was coming. And then I went to Natalie Dupuis' site, because I could not remember the full name of her Glitter and Go Starry Night piece. And it's in a box that's underneath three other things. And it was easier to go to her website than dig out that box to make sure I got the name right. Mm-hmm. And on there, she said that she's no longer doing kits.
Really?
And, yeah. And that some of her kits are available from Philippa Turnbull, the cruel work company.
Right.
And that stopped me because she was doing a lot of kits. And I started thinking, you know, there's a big movement toward downloadable PDFs.
Mm-hmm.
And when Kim opens her shop, one of the features of her shop is going to be computers where you can download. What does she have that? You can download PDFs and print them out.
Right.
And then what the download free is free if you buy the kit. I think that's right. Where she was going.
I think so.
Yeah. And otherwise you pay for downloading and printing some fee, whatever it is. And I just started thinking, you know, we're a lot of people are offering PDF downloads, and it seems like that's the way we're headed with a lot of these things. Is we're seeing it more and more, but then, you know, so okay, what does that do to the shops? Well, number one, more retail space for other things if you don't have to carry a bunch of charts. But if you're doing a thing like Kim where you have computers and you can download and print, you know, that's great for the shops. Okay, come in and pick anything. We don't have now we don't have to carry everything from every line.
Right.
You can download it and then we'll kit it up for you. So that's more room for threads and linen and Ada and whatever.
Right. All the other accoutrements, things that are harder to to source, even like things to hold your scissors. I call them doodads, like the orc bowls and all that stuff. You have more room for that sort of thing, which I'm more likely to buy at a shop than I am to buy online sight unseen.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. Kim at Sassy Jack Stitchery, by the way, for those who don't know, sassyjackstitchery.com. But I think that's, you know, I watch these things happen. And my first thought is, what is this doing to the local needlework store? Is it making it harder for them to stay in business, or is there an opportunity? And I've been of two minds with PDF downloads, because you can say, all right, well, that's charts that stores can't handle. But then that's also inventory that they don't have building up in their shops. And I'm sure you could go around this country and every single shop has a bunch of old charts,
right,
that they can't move, that are taking up retail space. Well, if you don't have to buy the charts, you know, think of Queenstown Sampler Designs. And I don't know if Barbara's doing this, but, you know, that entire catalog of samplers, if you didn't have to carry all those in the shop and people could download them, but you were able to carry two or three more lines of thread and have all the colors to the needleworker who comes to your shop, that is a bigger benefit, would you say, than having the charts there if I can just download them?
I think so. The only problem is sometimes I think models are important then. And then you really need I know people have said, I looked at that and I saw the chart and it's like, eh. But then I saw the model.
Yeah.
And that, or I saw someone stitching the piece and it totally changed their mind.
Yeah.
So I think that makes a little more work in one way on a shop, because then they really need models for these pieces, and you're not going to make models. I mean, these PDFs, the designers are producing them super quickly. Mm-hmm. So how can you as a shop owner, you'd have to have a small army making all your models for you. You just can't do that. But I guess there is, you know, there's internet and Facebook and, people, you know, posting their progress, and that's generally how most people see something anymore. So, yeah, I don't know. I think there's it is good to have more threads, in my opinion, because, you know, I'm a I love threads. And I'd much rather have threads than just charts, because right. I can get the chart or get the design, but I want to be able to see the threads. What colors look good on what piece of fabric?
Yeah. See, and there's the key. Every time you talk to somebody about a local needlework shop, the biggest drawback to not having one close by is just that. I can't go in there and handle the threads and line them up and put them on the ground cloth and see what they look like. That mm-hmm. is the, you know, that's the bad thing about not having a local shop. And, right. and if you have more options in your shop because they have more retail space, because they don't have to carry a bunch of charts that you can download and print, you know, I think that's a plus.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And it gives them, it gives the shop, the stitcher the opportunity. So let's say, I know some people, I personally don't like working off of my tablet. I don't know why. I just can't see it as well. I'd much rather have that paper copy that I can look at. But a shop might print it for you too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have their own account. They'll print it for a fee. They'll put it on nicer paper for you. That's an advantage. That's because then again, they're not carrying all that inventory,
right.
like you said, of charts, which take up tons of space.
Yeah.
Tons of space. Yeah.
Well, and you'd look at that whole process, that whole supply chain process from designer to store
mm-hmm.
and talk about sustainability. Designers right. having to have a bunch of charts printed, a bunch of charts that they now have to store, and then they have to have shipping materials to ship them to the shops. And then the shops store them. And then if they get old and can't be sold, then what do you do with them? Where if you can download it, go to the shop, download it, print it out on cheap paper or whatever paper, you know, there's not a lot of expense there. And then you can kit it right there. To me, there's a better sustainability story than printing up a bunch of charts. Sorry to the right. printers, but, you know.
Well, and what I, the other thing I don't like about getting charts sometimes is they have that plastic thing on them that they shove the chart into,
oh,
you know.
Uh-huh.
And I really don't like that thing because if once you open it up and you take your chart out, that sticky thing sometimes sticks on your chart. And so to me, I don't know why. It's a personal thing. I got to get rid of that.
You can have your quirks, Beth. It's okay to have quirks.
Thank you. That well, I have more than one, so
it's quite all right.
But yeah, and I personally like if it's something I'm really pretty sure that I'm going to be, I want to stitch. I generally kit it up because I don't like saying, oh, I want to stitch this, and I'm like, oh. Yeah, I'm missing like 5 threads.
Right.
You know, that's a pain. That's a pain.
Yep.
So I love being able to go to a shop and say, okay, I've got this. I've got this chart. I want this chart and I want this kitted up. It's nice to be able to do that. And that the more threads they have, the more options you have to change the thread, change it to make it
yep.
fit you. So you don't like silk, you can do it in DMC, Cosmos, Anchor. You know, you've got tons of options there. But no shop can carry all that inventory.
No.
And carry the charts. There is a limit. There's a limit to what they can do.
Only so much retail shelf space. Yep.
Right. Right.
Every store has that problem. Yep. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So. Yeah. I don't know. That may be a good trend. I didn't like it initially, but the more I think about it, it's a real opportunity for shops to win, I think, on both ends.
Yeah, I hope so, because, you know, we really do need the shops, you know, for for me, we've been without one for quite a while, really, that was fairly close. And having Bestitch Me open up was so nice. She mainly sells her own threads and her own, I think she only sells her own fabric pretty much. But she has offered for us locally to pick up things, you know, like if we needed, you need a plain white fabric, she said, yeah, let me know. And I can order that for you all.
Yeah.
But that's nice. It's nice that she's there and being able to go and even look at all the DMC colors because she has all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, which I love.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the most basic thing like that, to be able to walk into a store and have all those colors there is, right. Yeah.
Kind of helps. If you're changing something, you're like, well, you know, I really don't, it, all of the, a lot of times I don't like the blues. I want to change them to a different value of blue, mm-hmm. a different shade. And it's like, okay, well, how am I going to get all these shades in that I need, you know? And so it's nice to be able to go and look at all the DMC colors and say, oh yeah, this one, this family will work.
Right.
And you've got them. Look.
Yep. Yep. Well, yeah, there's that. And then where there are gaps, then if they have Anchor or some other that you can fill in the gaps and get the shade you want, right. Then yep.
Right.
That will powerful. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, we'll see how that plays out, but I think there's some positive there.
I hope so.
Yeah, for stitchers and shop owners, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep those shops alive. Just have to.
Yeah.
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 All right. We're going to have to call it right there.
Okay.
Okay. FiberTalk 5, if you're an EGA member, gets you $5 off or a free lecture, however you work it, from EGA. Claire Edwards, the Nomadic Maker, is this Sunday. Thanks for listening.
Bye.